Well, thanks for the invitation. You know, I don't know if you know this. Most congregations have really lost a lot of people since COVID because they can watch online and so they don't show up anymore. You got lots of people here. It's something to celebrate. You must be doing something right. So thanks for the invitation to be teacher, not preacher, today. But I have nothing new to teach or to say that hasn't already, I'm imagining, been spoken or written by others. Others are my teachers, whether old, grandchildren, young, whether I've met them or I have read some of their insights, they are my teachers, those others. Life and nature, even broken, not only whole, are my teachers. And today, I'm simply sharing a few of the teaching of those that have influenced me and challenged my heart and my mind and hopefully have helped me to receive life and live well. So I believe that today, is this a truth? We talked about truth or whatever this morning, but today's the last Sunday for this unfolding series. Valerie says yes, okay. Unfolding, an invitation to surrender to life's flow. Well, I am a contemplative wannabe, a lover of water and wind and all that the natural world teaches us. I think Ruth was here a couple weeks ago, and Ruth is almost a lifelong friend. So I am with Ruth, that nature is a great, great teacher, except for chipmunks, who are bent on digging up my potted plants. And so I refuse to surrender to their constant digging, to control their damage to my plants. We safely trap them in Have a Heart trap, and we reunite them with their previously located families several miles north in a lovely 100-acre woods. Our son refers to us as the ICE deportation officials. Shortly a year ago was about 35 relocation trips, and this year so far 21. So I think I'm winning. Not. So I live in the woods. And as much as I want to be in control of my surroundings, the deer, the turkey, the woodpeckers, the raccoons, squirrels, and chipmunks remind me that I'm in their territory. And I'm just the temporary resident in their space. Sometimes they get to enjoy the free meals of the birdseed and my delectable, tasty plants. How often we want to be in control of life. It's my woods, right? I bought it. Well, I'm only the present caretaker, because long before me, it was the Ojibwa and the Potawatomi and the Odawa people who lived, and I don't think they battled the chipmunks like I do. Our American life is one we want to control everything, so much around us, whether it's the critters or the lakeshore, keep that water back. Might want to control our neighbors sometimes. Well, then there's government officials. How about our children? Control our children. What about our spouses? Can we control them? About 2,500, no, you can't control them. 2,500 years ago, the author of the Tao Te Ching, ancient wisdom, I think Lao Tzu is the one who's attributed to being that person, wrote, modernly translated. We are urged to be clever and successful and always in control. But the practice, the Tao, the way, asks us to relinquish the illusion of control, to be content with whatever comes our way. This seems to be strange and different from the usual way, but it is the way of life. Translation by William Martin. Relinquish the illusion of control. Surrender. Sounds like the fingernails on a chalkboard a little bit. My priest teacher, Father Richard Rohr, wrote recently about the 12-step program in his meditation. Letting go isn't anybody's program for happiness, he says, and yet all mature spirituality is about letting go and unlearning, admitting that we are powerless over our addictions, and the assumption is we all have addictions of some sort. Maybe mine is controlling critters outside, I don't know. The first step is in going with the flow of what is, to surrender to our powerlessness. Rohr quotes Rabbi Shapiro about this powerlessness and the surrender to a higher power, whatever that might be. The more clearly, says Shapiro, you realize your lack of control, the more powerless you discover yourself to be, and the more natural it is for you to be surrendered to a higher power, to what is, I'd say, to the flow. The more surrendered you become, the less you struggle against the natural flow of life. The less you struggle against the flow of life, the freer you become. Radical powerlessness, he says, is radical freedom, liberating you from the need to control the ocean of life and freeing you to learn how best to navigate it. Ooh, I like these teachers, but I don't always like what they have to say to me. 17th century French priest Father de Cassade, his famous work was Abandonment to Divine Providence. It sounds like something out of my Reformed theology. And the sovereignty and that God has made all the decisions and has even scripted what I'm writing today. However, de Cassade, Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu, other spiritual great ones, they kind of align in the notion of our powerlessness over controlling life. They say rather than fighting life's current, it's better to surrender or accept what is. And going with the flow, find new freedom in navigating life. How does this work? I don't know about you, but perhaps a little bit of growing older, start to realize a little bit more. And I mean, when I was younger, I really was in control of life, but I'm starting to realize that I am not so much in control of what happens in life. And in recent gatherings with some retreats that I've done, I've invited people to share in a meditation mantra by Alexa Sunshine Rose. You can find it on YouTube. It's 8 minutes long, her version is. Mine is not that long. But it basically is, I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. So I invite my participants to, I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. Now, Alexis sings that over and over for 8 minutes. And I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. My sister will not sing that with me. She was always trying to be boss of me. Life happens. How much do we control it? There's wisdom in learning to go with the flow, and perhaps there might be some balance that we can find in going with the flow. Finding yes to saying yes to where we can control a little bit where we end up. Water is a teacher for me, especially regarding flow. So Friday, you said you had a downpour here today. Friday, I don't know how it was here in Grand Haven, where I live, it was, I think we got almost 2 inches of rain in a very short amount of time, which means my gravel driveway that goes down a hill eroded. That water just flows. I can't move my hill, and I can't control the rain. I can't control that runoff exactly, but I can try to channel the flow. I can try to channel it, and so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Do I control it? Don't I control it? I love to kayak the rivers in Michigan. The river flows, and if you simply surrender to the flow, you're gonna get hung up in the sweepers, in the rushes, in the logs, in the rocks, whatever it might be. You have to put your paddle in, and you have to guide where the flow is taking you and go with the flow. Yes, go with the flow, but at the same time, use the flow to your advantage. You don't just, que sera, sera. You receive the power of the flow, and you move towards your destination. Olivia Lang writes about the river. There's a mystery about rivers that draws us to them. They rise from hidden places and travel by routes that are not always tomorrow where they might be today. Unlike a lake or a sea, a river has its destination. There is something about the certainty with which it travels that makes it kind of soothing, particularly for those who have lost faith of where they are headed. I know where I'm going to end up when I'm in the kayak, unless I pass the takeout place. Did you catch some of the Olympics? I only got a glimpse of the kayak races down that man-made little river. Didn't see a whole lot of it. Only a glimpse or two of the surfers in Tahiti. Any surfers here? Any wind kite sailboarders? Brad is. When I was growing up in New Jersey, I was in middle school, and my friends lived down the shore on the Jersey Shore, and they had a surfboard. And so when I was in middle school, I caught, after the wave broke, caught a couple waves, and I thought I was the greatest surfer in the world, conquering the waves. Surfers can't control the waves. They simply catch them and receive the wave that comes, and with a lot of practice, learn how to use the flow and the crest of the wave to ride, to enjoy, and to maybe win the gold. Surrendering to the force of the wave catches us unprepared and smashes us down and can even drown us. And you may know that by body surfing, maybe in the big lake once in a while and get tumbled, unless you can catch it just right and have it move you. And you can even steer a little bit, especially if you have one of those boogie boards to get you going. How we receive or accept the flow makes all the difference in the world. Again, from the Tao, acceptance of life is the only path to wholeness. Our conditioning, our human conditioning, will tell us that this acceptance is actually resignation. Not true. Resignation leads to immobilization, waves crashing and smashing and drowning you. Resignation leads to immobilization. Acceptance leads to action. When life is hard, things don't go our way, somebody else gets the job, our candidate loses the election, we receive a bad diagnosis, we lose an investment, a car accident takes away a loved one, nuclear holocaust happens. Any number of overwhelming crashing waves knock us down. And so what does that surrender mean? Do we just give in? Do we fight? Do we get mad? Do we deny the reality? Do we passively resign to our powerlessness? Or accepting what is, do we receive it in some manner that moves us to step into the flow and be part of what's happening to navigate for a better outcome or for some hope that's there? You may be familiar with the elders of the Hopi Nation. They're writing, I think from New Mexico, Arizona. And this is in response to all that's happened to the indigenous people of our land. This is to my fellow swimmers. Perhaps you've heard it. Here's a river flowing now very fast. It's so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid and who will try to hold on to the shore. They're being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore and push off into the middle of the river and keep our heads above water. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment we do, our spiritual growth and journey come to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration, for we are the ones we have been waiting for. Those indigenous people didn't have a choice very much about the flow that overwhelmed them in the flood of colonizers, pioneers. Though not all survived, I believe there is a resurgence of indigenous wisdom and culture in some places. They've stuck together and they have not given up or given in completely. They have more than survived in some ways. To go both with the flow and to find a way to manage some what's in it. But then there's the teachers, the fish. In a little while, the fish will start their fall run or swim against the current in opposition to the flow. Some will swim from salt water to fresh water, and in that change will be transformed even in their structure in order for them to continue the generational flow of life. Most will swim upstream days, sometimes weeks, in order to carry on life, to give of themselves against the flow, and to sometimes let go and die. Whew, what wisdom is there in that? We know of individuals also who have gone against the flow of social or political reality, that social political tide that would just push us all over, and they've gone in a different direction, and some gave their lives going against that tide. Sometimes the current is human-made and simply wrong for the good of all. And we need those who will fight the waves by their defiance, by their courage, by their writing or their speech or the action. And sometimes those people are us, are us. So there's a both and reality. We need to learn to give in to the flow, to ride the waves, and to know when to go against the current, like the windsurfers or the kiteboarders or the sailors who open their sails, catch the wind, and can even go cutting across the current, can go against the wind. So it's finding a balance that is ours both in the letting go and doing what we can do. Rumi writes, "Your hand opens and closes, opens and closes. If it was always a fist or always stretched open, you would be paralyzed. Your deepest presence is in the small contracting and expanding, the two as beautifully balanced and coordinated as the bird's wings." So holding tight and letting go. John O'Donohue, Irish poet, writes, "The wisdom is the art of balancing the known with the unknown, the suffering with the joy. It's a way of linking the whole of life together in a new and deeper unity." So I was going to invite you to do a little balancing exercise. You want to do it? Okay, stand up. Those of you who are able to stand up, stand up. It's your exercise for the day. It's a little yoga, okay? So let's stand on your left leg and raise your right. And keep your hands at your side. How's it going? Okay, switch legs. Let's try it the other way. Maybe sometimes people have one leg that's stronger than the other leg. All right, now if you're near somebody, stand on your strongest leg. Put your arms up and touch hands with the person next to you. Typically, when we stick together, okay, very good, you can do that. You can sit down. Typically, the thing is, you know, we can balance, we have better balance when we're not totally alone and we're surrounded, like the Hopi say, look at who's around you. Be with who's around you. When things feel unbalanced and we get knocked off our feet by the flood of stuff, see who's there with you and let's be balanced together. I think, if I understand right, the next series here is going to be about dying well. Oh, I thought you told me that. Oh, it's not. Okay, well, then my last statement. I was going to try to segue into your next series, but I guess that's part of it, though, too, right? We have no control over the flow of life that we're going to die. How do we navigate it? We accept it. We can't necessarily control it, but there might be a few things when we're surrounded by others and maybe some good medicine that we can navigate it well. So here's a cabin poem by Jim Harrison that I close with. "I've decided to make up my mind about nothing, to assume the watermark, to finish my life disguised as a creek, an eddy, joining at night the full, sweet flow to absorb the sky, to swallow the heat and the cold, the moon and the stars, to swallow myself in ceaseless flow."